Matthew chapter 7, we begin reading in verse 15. Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And I'll tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Lord, we read these words and they're not necessarily inspirational. They don't necessarily excite praise or thanksgiving or cause us to jump to our feet in a rush of spiritual passion. But Lord, there is truth here that you're seeking to communicate to your church, and it's vital truth. It's been vital through the ages. It's vital today. Lord, your church has always lived in the midst of confusion and chaos, lies and deception, strange notions, false teachings. God, it's nothing new, but it remains very real. And Lord, as your people, you know that we're those who seek for truth. We're hungry for truth, for righteousness, for what reflects your glory. But you also know, Lord, that in our imperfection, we can be deceived. And Lord, in your grace and in your mercy, even now, you seek to teach us how to avoid deception, how to avoid falsehood, how to prepare our hearts in such a way that when that great and glorious day arrives, Lord, when we cry out, "Lord, Lord," you'll say, "Yes, yes, my faithful servant, well done. Enter into the joy prepared for you." Lord, Lord, help us even now this morning to receive your word. And may your word bear fruit, good fruit, in our hearts and lives, through our hearts and lives, into the lives of others, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you are a parent, you understand this meme. You understand it full well, all right? If you've ever been a child, and if there's anyone here who's never been a child, could we see your hand? Okay, all right, we've all been children. We understand this meme. We've all been here. We've all done this, or something close to it. The reality is kids tell their parents all sorts of lies. And to be fair, there's more than a few lies that parents tell kids from time to time. And it isn't just kids and parents. In any given week, most of us are going to hear all manner of petty lies. Call them white lies, call them small lies, little lies, petty lies. Call them whatever you want. We're going to hear it. A fast and loose, less than accurate approach to truth. Over time, most of us, we develop the skills by which to navigate these petty lies. We see through them. We call them out. We work around them. Maybe we simply ignore them. But in our text this morning, Jesus is talking about another sort of lie. And it's not a petty lie. It's audacious. It's humongous. It's perversely evil. It's the sort of lie Jesus described by way of illustration. He talked about a wolf putting on sheepskin, pretending to be a sheep. Now, why would a wolf ever do such a thing? I can't for the life of me imagine. Can you? Jesus talked about a thorn bush masquerading as a grapevine, a thistle trying to pass itself off as a fig tree. He said it's the lie of the false prophet. It's the lie of those who proclaim what seems to be precious truth, but is in fact an intentional deception. Perhaps even a falsehood so powerful, the so-called prophet has even been deceived into believing it. However you slice it or dice it, it's a lie. It deceives people. And in the end, this lie, and the people who perpetrate the lie, and the people who believe the lie, without a healthy dose of truth to heal and restore, the end in all of this is destruction. That day, as Jesus began to conclude the Sermon on the Mount, and he realized his time with these people there on the mountainside was coming to an end. As he looked over their faces, Jesus knew that these people needed a warning. Jesus knew before he left off that day, he needed to issue them a warning, a safeguard, a means whereby they could protect themselves from what was to come. You see, Jesus had been speaking truth. We've been here for 10 months, folks, walking through the truth of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had been speaking this truth, and it was a hard truth. It was a truth difficult to accept, even more difficult to apply in real life. But it was a truth with the power to set people free. Truth with the power to set people free from their false religion, free from the old worldly ways of thinking and living, free from all of the fear and the hatred and the selfishness. Even so, Jesus knew it was just a matter of time until the Pharisees were going to come along again. And the Pharisees were going to reassert their false prophecies, their false spin or twist on the truth. Jesus knew that it wasn't just the Pharisees. Jesus knew that even after he died and rose again, ascended to the Father, poured out the Holy Spirit, even then, there would still be those who would take his story and they would twist his words and create something out of it that was false, that was deceptive, that was destructive. Jesus knew that his followers needed a warning. And so at this point in time, Jesus shared with him everything necessary to spot the false prophet. And you'll notice, it had nothing to do with their clothes. And it had nothing to do with their hairstyle. It had nothing to do with their accent. It had nothing to do with whether they had a nationally or internationally televised program on all of the Christian TV networks, or whether they were just some poor schmuck down on the corner wearing a sandwich board that says, "Repent, the end is near." Jesus didn't talk about any of that sort of stuff when he talked about false prophets. What Jesus talked about was their fruit. By their fruit, you will be able to discern, to discover, to know, to understand, to have insight as to whether a man, a woman, a group, a movement, a teaching, whether or not it's false or not. Jesus said, by the false prophet's fruit, you'll recognize them. Good trees, good fruit. Bad trees, bad fruit. And this fruit Jesus had in mind. What was he talking about? What did he mean? Well, as I just said a few moments ago, we've spent almost 10 months walking through the Sermon on the Mount. Is there anything in this sermon that Jesus has said about what good fruit looks like in the kingdom of God? I know we've been reviewing and walking back through and considering this sermon, but consider yet again some of the things Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. Humility. Empathy, self-control, righteousness, mercy, purity, peace, endurance in the face of persecution, faithfulness, the ability simply to release all the anger and the enmity and the bitterness, the lust, the selfishness, the greed, to take up generosity, a spirit of prayerfulness, a spirit free from worry and anxiety about money and stuff. Freedom from that harsh, judgmental spirit that so often afflicts us. A spirit of discernment and wisdom. A willingness to put others and others' needs before our own. Aren't these the sorts of things Jesus advocated in the Sermon on the Mount? Dare we say it? Aren't these the sorts of things Jesus commanded of us, his followers, in the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah, these are the sorts of good fruit he had in mind for his people, the sort of things that he wants our lives to produce. Now, folks, at this point, there's a couple of things to keep in mind here. First, there is no such thing this side of heaven as the perfect good tree or the perfect good fruit. All right? That's true in nature. That's true of people. Second, to determine whether a tree and its fruit are truly good, that requires more than 5 minutes worth of observation. All right? That's true in nature, and it's true when it comes to people. The reality is, as God's people, in love, in grace, in mercy, we seek to forgive one another's shortcomings, one another's failures. But in doing so, nevertheless, we are called over time to discern. To discern the nature, to discern the character, the fruit of those who seek to supposedly speak truth, provide guidance, serve as a source of spiritual wisdom for our lives. You know, it's that latest author who's out there catching the evangelical fancy, and it's that latest conference speaker everybody's so excited about. They ignite such a passion in their listener. It's that latest teaching that's going around that captures the hearts and the imaginations of God's people who are hungry to learn and to grow. It's all of that. But it's also the pastor who stands in front of us every Sunday morning. It's the elders. It's the leaders in our own congregations. It's those who seek to take on a certain prophetic role, proclaiming truth to the body of Christ. Over time, we need to look at these people. We need to look at these men. We need to look at these women. We need to examine the books, the videos, the teachings, the movements, this, the that, the other. Do we see consistent evidence of the sort of fruit Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount coming forth from these lives, these ministries? Or over time, do we begin to discern something far more troubling, far more disheartening? Increasingly, do we recognize that there is this disconnect between the words and the lives? There is perhaps even this selfish, destructive element that's doing real people real harm. Jesus wasn't speaking to the political climate of his day or the political climate of our day. He wasn't talking about politics at all here. Yet the politics of our day are such a powerful example of the very thing Jesus is talking about. And yet it isn't just the presidential election we're faced with this year, which has so many of us disgusted, frustrated, pulling out our hair. What do I do? We have these candidates who talk about all the wonderful things they're going to do for us. And the fact is, we just don't see it. We just don't see it in terms of the fruit of their lives up to this point. How is it they're going to do all these wonderful things for us when they've never really done anything all that wonderful to date? And it isn't just them. We can look back over presidential elections past. We can look back over elections for dog catcher. I mean, it's just the nature of the political realm in which we live. All of the talk, all of the promise, all of the vision, all of the glorious things that are going to happen if you'll just vote for me. And time again, we come away 6 months, a year, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years later. Where's the promise? Where's the fulfillment? Folks, it isn't just politics. This sort of thing goes on in the Church of Jesus Christ. Those who would elevate themselves, those who would stand in positions of authority, those who would speak grand and glorious messages filled with seeming light and liberty. And yet the reality over time, what we see coming forth from the individual life, what we see coming forth from the result of the teaching, that which is dark, that which is deadly, destructive. You see, Jesus said there's coming a day Jesus referred to it as that day. He said there's coming a day of judgment. Those who will enter the joy of God's kingdom forever, on that day they will be separated from those who are forever banished from that kingdom as evildoers. And Jesus said, on that day, there are going to be those who stand before him and who say, Lord, Lord, look at us. Look at our lives. We prophesied. We drove out demons. We performed 100 miracles. Lord, surely there's a place for us in your kingdom. And take note, Jesus isn't going to dispute with them whether they did or didn't actually prophesy, whether they did or didn't battle demons or perform miracles. Jesus' response will cut to the heart. Jesus' response will be right to the point of the matter. I hear all that. But did you do my Father's will? Did you do what my Father wanted you to do? Did you become the sort of person he was calling you to be? Did you obey God by thinking the way God wanted you to think? Speaking the way God wanted you to speak? Acting the way God wanted you to act? Jesus isn't going to be impressed on that day by any long list of glorious spiritual accomplishments. All of it supposedly in his name. The reality is we didn't actually obey God, submit to God's will, produce the sort of fruit plainly described to us as what the Father truly desires from our lives. You know, that day it isn't really going to matter whether it's the false prophet or whether it's the one deceived by the false prophet. The real question: have I been the person God called me to be? Have I done the things that God has called me to do? Have I obeyed? Have I done my Father's will? Jesus said, watch out for the false prophet. Watch out for the one who, by this or that proclamation, supposes to reveal truth, when in fact it's just one more lie leading to destruction. As I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded of some old lyrics from a Larry Norman song. And by way of truth and advertising, Mr. Norman may have been something of a false prophet himself. So these lyrics may have struck closer to home than even he realized. But these lyrics, they caught in my mind. I share them with you this morning. I know a girl, sweet as could be, but she fell for a man like a chainsaw and tree. She listened to his lies, was fooled by his charms. Now she's sitting with a baby in her arms. You gotta watch what you're doing. Some folks smile. They seem all right. But you later find out it was an angel of light. Try to love everybody, but don't be blind. Because some kind of people try to mess with your mind. You gotta watch who you know. You got to watch what you're doing. Watch out. I love this song because it's loud. It's really loud. It's kind of jarringly loud. But it's so straightforward and it's so simple. Perhaps because it reflects the very sorts of things that Jesus was so simply trying to communicate here in his words. Friends, with the Holy Spirit's help, and I mean that, this is a more or less day by day, week by week sort of thing. We need the Holy Spirit's help, the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction. We need to keep our eyes and our ears open. Jesus himself said, in the last days there are going to come those who are going to say all sorts of things, do all sorts of things, be very deceptive, very powerful, very manipulative, able to convince even some of the most godly people that in fact they're it. They're the real deal. When in fact they're nothing more than an agent of deception. We need to keep our eyes and our ears open. We need to beware the wolves in sheep's clothing coming in to devour, to confuse, to destroy. We need to beware the bad tree trying to pass itself off as the producer of good fruit. We need to beware of getting caught up in all of the noise and the flash and the big personality, the grand event, the latest trend that everybody's buying into. We need to be careful about getting caught up in that to the point that we lose sight of what God has so clearly stated to be His will, what God has so clearly stated to be His desire for us. We need to beware of getting caught up in what is big, what is flashy, what is grand, what is exciting, what is this and that, and in the process losing that humble obedience to simply do the things God has called us to do, to become the sorts of people God has called us to become. In Jesus' words, watch out. God,